When the topic of autism is brought up, it's children who receive the greatest amount of focus, naturally. We study, discuss the limitations, even what autism prevents in their lives, as well as the ways that their parents and other family members can support and help them. The overlooked fact is that family support team just, unfortunately, is not forever. An autistic child obviously will become an adult as their parents and relatives pass away. What are the health care and next step options for an autistic adult? Up until now, not nearly enough. My next guest is here to detail a program that he's created that's blazing new trails of opportunity for autistic adults while raising awareness about this need within our entire society. Here to share the details about the Center for Autism Services in Transition is Dr. Christopher Hanks. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Let me give you a website. You can learn more about this. It's medicalcenter.osu.edu. We have a direct link to the details we'll be talking about here over at our website as well. And I want to start off with some statistics for you listening, and these are certainly stats I'm sure the doctor's aware of. In June 2014, only 19.3% of people with disabilities in the U.S. were participating in the workforce, working or seeking work. Of those, 12.9% were unemployed, meaning only 16.8% of the population with disabilities were employed. And when you look at the idea of that, plus 35% of young adults ages 19 to 23 with autism have not had a job or received a post-grad education after leaving high school, this is a generation of children becoming adults with the autism spectrum disorder that have a large wall in front of them, Doctor.
They really do. It's really a huge population of people, and I think it's going to get bigger. If you look at the frequency of autism, it's been diagnosed much more frequently in the past 15 years or so, and so that population is quickly becoming adults, and so we're going to see, if anything, probably a growth in those concerning numbers you shared.
So the impression is with an autistic child or anyone with autism, the capabilities being limited, it's repetitive tasks that, in a way, are therapeutic, but also is the full extent of their capability. Is that so, and is that what limits job potential, or is that shortchanging someone with autism?
I think in some ways that's probably shortchanging people with autism. Autism is very broad. You know, it's described as a spectrum disorder because there is such a broad spectrum of ways it can be manifested. And so while there are many that are fairly severely affected and you know, really need a lot of support, there are also many people with autism spectrum disorders that are really quite capable of functioning independently and very likely succeeding in job or education or things like that. And so, you know, certainly our hope is that we can identify ways to improve that and also to add to some of the stuff you shared. From a medical standpoint, we see that people with autism, adults with autism, are much more likely to have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and other medical problems. And this probably stems from their lack of lack of involvement in the community and therefore spending a lot more time at home or in settings where they're not active and they're not involved in other things to that help maintain health outside of their home.
And for you listening, I wonder why looking ahead and building a life system for people with autism versus focusing on treatments, cures, first and foremost, the cause isn't even a concrete a bit of knowledge, but the National Institutes of Health funds allocation, their total, this is the latest figures we have, total 2012 NIH budget, $30.86 billion. Of that, just about one half of 1% went to autism research, $169 million to be precise. So, Doctor, looking to how to help someone with autism build a life as opposed to a wait and see and let's hope for the best out of the lab, this sounds like an idea that you've really grabbed onto.
Well, you know, I think it's really important that we start working on this now. As you said, you know, there's a lot of effort being put into this from a lot of different directions, but in each community, I think there are different resources available to help people with autism and their families, but so often those resources are not well connected to each other. And it really takes a very dedicated and, you know, focused effort by families or parents to find those resources. And our hope is that, by trying to partner with many organizations and reach out and work together, we can make connections that will really help these people to prevent illness, really. You know, as a doctor, you know, obviously my main focus is the medical care, but I really don't think we can, you know, narrow in and just look at that. I think we have to focus on their social environment to improve their medical health.
Talking with Dr. Christopher Hanks about the Center for Autism Services and Transition, otherwise known as CAST, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So give us a guided tour verbally of what CAST is offering to a person. I won't say a patient, because to me that's a derogatory term in this case. You're looking for someone to help them have a support system and some as much independence as possible. So let's call them the person that walks into or becomes aware of CAST and looks to you. What are the various services and opportunities that you provide?
Well, sure. First of all, let me kind of describe where this idea came from. As you look at the medical care for people with autism, you know, throughout the pediatric, while they're children, there tend to be a lot of services focused around caring for them. But once they become adults, many of those services really just are not available. And if you look at studies that have surveyed doctors, you know, considering how comfortable they are even caring for autism, there's a large proportion of doctors that say that they don't feel like they have enough knowledge or comfort to provide the care. If you ask people with autism that are adults, you know, what kind of care they receive from their primary care providers, for example, there was a study recently that suggested that even if they have a primary care physician, they feel like they have more unmet needs than the rest of the population do. And so we came into this saying, how do we bridge that gap and make medical care more accessible for them was really the initiation of this idea. With that, what we've done is, you know, when patients reach, and as you said, patients is probably the wrong way to word this, but as people reach out to us, the first thing that happens is we actually have a fairly lengthy phone conversation with them to assess, you know, what kind of barriers they may experience just in coming to meet us for the first time. Many people with autism struggle with different scenarios. Often, even just the waiting room in the office can be overwhelming to them and may be a big enough barrier that they're not able to make it until the doctor can even see them. And so we're finding ways to redefine the approach to coming into our office to modify it to make it more accessible. And then also just making sure that they understand that we're here to kind of help them navigate through things. We've got additional support with social work and other people that are skilled with this and helping us help the people find more resources out there. It's a struggle. There are not a lot of great services focused on adults with autism, and so even here, you know, where we do, I think, have some nice things going on, there's still a long ways to go, but there are so many of the people that have had family members or children with autism have been really working on this for a while, and so we've been lucky to be able to take advantage of some of the things others have done and couple in with them.
Turning to some statistics, we've talked about this often in the show too. The rate of autism in New Jersey is quite higher versus the national average. National average is 1 out of 68 children, 1 in 42 boys. And if you look at the New Jersey stats, overall rate is 1 in 45 and 1 in 28 boys. Again, you can go into the endless debates of the hows, the whys, the causes, whether or not it's better diagnosis versus the states or more causes that creates the likelihood of the disorder. But, Doctor, you were currently based in your facility in Ohio State University's Wexner Medical Center. Is this an idea that you're looking to, for lack of a better phrase, franchise or have other doctors learn about what you're doing, the ways you do it, and through a blessing on your part to set up shop with similar centers in other states?
Oh, absolutely. This is not a local problem. This is a national and an international problem. And there are many people throughout the nation working on this in different ways. And we absolutely, we intend to study and discover what works. You know, this is somewhat of a undefined and undiscovered, territory, if you will. And so, we're trying to understand what works well and what doesn't work well, and then definitely intend to share that with everyone that's interested so that other people can take advantage of this. I mean, we hope we can learn some great things that that will make, you know, make this better for everybody. I really don't think it, you know, as you shared, you know, with those kind of numbers of how frequent the diagnosis of autism is, there's no way to think that one clinic or one doctor could provide the care for all these people. So we really need to make this something that really all doctors become comfortable with, because, you know, no matter what kind of doctor you are, you're going to have people with autism in your clinic.
And it's certainly, I mean, we always talk too about how patients and families or people and families with afflictions, they feel solitude when they're dealing with what they're dealing, not really recognizing that there are so many people in the same situation they're in. I'm wondering how many doctors are out there thinking that, you know, I'd like to address adult autism, but what resources are out there? And by you stepping forward with CAST, you might, I would hazard to guess that there might be a lot more physicians that if they haven't taking actions in that realm of treatment and care already would start considering it, and maybe that the fact that there are relatively few physicians specializing in treating adults on the spectrum, that maybe that can turn around.
I really hope so. I mean, I really think there's some simple things that can be done as first steps to just educate yourself enough to have a comfort level and realize that you may need to approach the visit a little bit differently, and you may need to think about your approach a little bit differently, but most of the medical care we provide is the same as I provide for any other patient I see, just with a little bit of nuance in the way I approach the patient or the family, and a little bit of understanding about their needs, and an extra step of effort just to make sure that the person that needs the care is able to get it in a way they need. One of the things we found is that many of our patients with autism really are not very comfortable communicating verbally, but a lot of them do spend a lot of time on computers or communicate electronically much better. And we're lucky here to have an electronic medical record system that does have the capacity to allow patients to essentially email back and forth with us through their medical chart. And so simple things like that, allowing them to schedule visits and communicate and ask questions, that way makes it so some that may not be comfortable enough to call and make a phone call, can still reach out to us. So I think there are some small steps that are not real difficult that could be easily adopted by many people, and that would be the first step towards becoming more comfortable, and then you just kind of build on that and see where things take you.
Let's wrap up our time with Dr. Christopher Hanks from the Center for Autism Services and Transition, medicalcenter.osu.edu. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Again, some last stats here. We gave you some narrow, real focus numbers. Here's a little more general from the CDC, about 1% of the world population, 1% has autism spectrum disorder. And that's in America, as far as that number is concerned, over 3.5 million people in America live with an autism spectrum disorder. Dollars and cents column, if you want that, autism services cost U.S. service citizens over a quarter of $1 billion annually, according to 2014 figures. So, Doctor, if nothing else, to make a generation of people, as you mentioned too, statistically, a growing generation of people, productive, giving members of society as opposed to recipients of services and programs, I always hate this phrase in my days in sales, but that sounds like a win-win situation.
Well, if we can do it, it certainly is. I think, finding ways to help people with autism be more engaged in the society is really the crux of this problem, and I don't think there's any simple, easy solutions to it. We're certainly, we're exploring many options. There's some great programs here, as well as throughout the nation. I think there are many people that have been very dedicated to this cause, and I think there's momentum that's going the right direction. But I still see many, many people coming in that are struggling to find the resources they need to reach that point of success. I do think, when I think about what I see with different patients, one of the challenges is, as a parent, I think many parents struggle to identify how much independence to allow, because of the worry of dangers or failures. But on the flip side, you absolutely have to allow people to become as independent as possible and allow them to succeed and fail some in order to develop, certain skills. And so we really need to, from an early age, well before they're adults, focus on helping these people, explore every opportunity they have and really, give them a chance to succeed in jobs or in school or things as much as possible. And we need understanding from the community that they need to work with them and help them too. And I think it's really going to take a dedicated effort throughout the community to make a difference in this.
So if a doctor or a medical partnership is listening right now and they're curious and want to learn more, maybe incorporate what you're doing into their practice, is the best way to contact you through medicalcenter.osu.edu and go
Absolutely,
from there?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, and that is, by the way, the CAST is based at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, and that's why the URL is as it is. And, of course, it's over at our website, too, medicalcenter.osu.edu. And this morning we've been joined by the founder of the Center for Autism Services in Transition, Dr. Christopher Hanks. Doctor, you're making a positive contribution into a generation, not just into lives. And I think for the children, the parents of children in the autistic community, you're giving hope, too, for the future of their children as the inevitable happens, as I alluded to in the introduction, and to have a knowledge that their children will have some sort of security in their future. That gives a little rest in peace as well. Thanks for doing that, for being here this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me.